Creation Ministries presents Inspiration for You, the audio tape series designed for spiritual advancement. Let us begin with our topic, the trademark name. The matter of a name has been and continues to be significant to the human race. What is so important about a name? It appears that God Himself places great emphasis on names. Let us consider a few examples from the Bible for illustration. In Genesis 2, 19 and 20, and chapter 3, verse 20, we read how Adam named God's creatures and even the woman. We notice that names in the Bible were determined by events of the time. For example, in Genesis 38. Prophetic position. The example is found in Genesis 25, verses 26 and 30. Fondness of hope. Genesis 29, 32 through 35. Change of character. John chapter 1, verse 42. Innate character. 1 Samuel 25, 25. Coming events. Isaiah 8, 1 through 4. And divine mission. Matthew 1, 21. God warns His people not to take the name of Yah in vain, in Exodus 27. In Revelation 2:9, Jesus speaks of a people who takes the name which is not rightly theirs. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, according to Proverbs 22:1. A good name is better than precious ointment, according to Ecclesiastes 7:1. One's name is intimately connected to one's reputation. When the reputation is blemished, the name suffers loss. It is no wonder that Calvin Rock wrote the following in the Adventist Review, June 9, 1988. Quote, "The name Seventh-day Adventist carries special meaning. If its significance is to be retained, the Church must protect it from those who would misrepresent it." In Ministry Magazine, December 1988, the article, General Conference Trademark Policy, contains the following. Quote, "Questions have been asked regarding efforts of the General Conference to protect the name of our church through the use of trademark laws. Question, is it true that the General Conference has federally registered trademarks for the name Seventh-day Adventist? Answer, yes. The General Conference Corporation of Seventh-day Adventists, on behalf of the entire denomination, has registered under the United States trademark laws the name Seventh-day Adventist and a variety of the Church's programs and services." Unquote. On November 10, 1981, the mark Seventh-day Adventist was registered to the General Conference under registration number 1177185. The registration covers religious books, magazines, pamphlets, newsletters, brochures, encyclopedias, dictionaries, commentaries, flyers, bulletins, yearbooks, booklets, and Bibles, as well as health care benefit programs and services, educational services, and conducting religious observances and missionary services. What was the original reason for needing protection for the name? We cannot be certain, but there are indicators. For example, in the March 1991 edition of SDA Kinship Connection, Ron Lawson reports in the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists versus SDA Kinship International that the General Conference, quote, purpose in proceeding with that case, that is, persecuting the little congregational SDA church in Hawaii, was to give the GC legitimacy in its attack on us, or SDA Kinship, unquote. Notice how Lawson, a practicing homosexual, responds to the GC versus Kinship lawsuit. Our church, which claims to believe in religious liberty when its own liberty is threatened, in this case chose to attack the religious liberty of some of its own members. Its leaders, whose prophetic interpretation identifies the United States with the lamb-like beast of Revelation 13 that will someday speak as a dragon, were themselves flexing their muscles and behaving as a dragon. According to Spectrum Magazine News Update in March 1992, the article is entitled Seventh-day Adventists, Not Always a Trademark, by Kenneth Edward Heiner. Quote, in an October 3, 1991 decision, Seventh-day Adventist Kinship International, Incorporated won the right to use the Seventh-day Adventist name in its title. The ruling was the result of a suit filed by the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists on December 7, 1987, claiming that SDA Kinship's use of the name Seventh-day Adventist constituted federal trademark infringement. SDA Kinship was incorporated in 1981 as a ministry for gay and lesbian Adventists. Robert Nixon, associate in the Office of General Counsel for the General Conference, says, our major thrust is to protect the name of the church. The decision, that is, the decision brought against the General Conference in this lawsuit, is a narrow one, he said. He goes on to say, it is limited. The decision is limited to usage by kinship or by usage like kinships. And it still leaves the Seventh-day Adventist Church fully protected. He goes on to say that the church did not appeal the decision, mainly because it, the decision, was so narrow. And he added, "We didn't think it did much damage." In the official decision, signed October 3, 1991, the following words are found on page 14 and 15. SDA Kinship claims that it is made up of Seventh-day Adventists who, despite the attitude of the General Conference, do not want to forsake their religion, and that in deciding to call itself the Seventh-day Adventist Kinship International, it was merely describing its organization in terms of what it is, an international organization of Seventh-day Adventists. SDA Kinship is entitled to use the term Seventh-day Adventist to identify the religion of the group's membership. Arguably, the use of the name Seventh-day Adventist in connection with church would require a different result. And on page 18, in the conclusion, Mariana R. Fowler writes the following. The terms Seventh-day Adventist and SDA, as used by SDA Kinship, are generic. This finding disposes of all the claims asserted by the plaintiff. Therefore, judgment shall be entered in favor of the defendant. In the Adventist Review, November 14, 1991, page 6, under Newsbreak, the title of the article, General Conference Will Not Appeal Trademark Decision. The General Conference will not appeal a federal court ruling that a homosexual support group may use the name Seventh-day Adventist, reports Robert W. Nixon, associate in the Office of General Counsel of the General Conference. Judge Mariana R. Fowler of the U.S. District Court for Central California ruled that the support group, Kinship International, is entitled to use the term Seventh-day Adventist to identify the religion of the group's membership. But Judge Fowler limited application of the decision to the homosexual group. Arguably, she wrote, use of the name Seventh-day Adventist in conjunction with church would require a different result. The judge rejected arguments that application of trademark laws would be a violation of religious liberty. Free exercise of religion rights are not implicated under either the test enunciated in Sherbert versus Berner or the more restrictive view of the free exercise clause enunciated in Employment Division versus Smith, she added. The General Conference Committee on October 31 recommended that the General Conference Corporation not appeal the decision and that it continue to protect the church and its members from misuses of the church's name. In Spectrum, March 1992, Volume 22, Number 1, page 64, Robert Nixon, emphasized that the General Conference's only two reasons for not appealing this case were the low damage and the possibility of having the case sent back to Judge Fowser once again. We would like to point out an error that has been published. In the October 1993 newsletter sent out by Pastor Jan Markison, it says, "Good news number 3. On my CCA video number 7, I showed you that the Catholic lawyer got up in a GC meeting and told them that they cannot sue people anymore for using the name because they lost the case to the homosexuals and the judge ruled that the name of the SDA Church is generic and is the name of a religion which cannot be trademarked." I would read to you once again the quotation from Robert Nixon, associate in the Office of General Counsel for the General Conference. This statement can be found in Spectrum Magazine, March 1992, Volume 22, Number 1, page 63. He says this, "Our major thrust is to protect the name of the church. The decision, that is the decision against the General Conference in the SDA Kinship International lawsuit, is a narrow one," he said. He goes on to say, "It is limited to a usage by kinship or a usage like kinships and still leaves the Seventh-day Adventist Church fully protected." This means that the General Conference Corporation of Seventh-day Adventists is still protected by federal trademark law, and that the only thing the decision decided in the kinship case was that the General Conference cannot sue its own church members. If someone outside of the General Conference church membership should use the name Seventh-day Adventist in conjunction with the word church, it would be a different matter. Let us digress for a moment in our discussion of this trademark name and establish an historical backdrop. It is very likely that the Adventist denomination reaped a trademark name for protection as a result of sowing homosexual church membership in the United States. Let the following citations lend credibility to our suggestion. First, in Ministry Magazine, February 1982, in the article, Homosexuals and the Church. Quote, "Perhaps you will be surprised to know that in China, we are not aware of homosexuality as a social problem, much less is it a problem in our church. Because of this background, you can perhaps understand my shock when I first heard the term homosexual Adventists. It offends me that the name of our church should be associated with homosexuality. What if another group should call itself Seventh-day Adventist adulterers? Two. Andrews University Student Movement, newspaper, October 20th, 1982. Article entitled Facing the Gay Dilemma. The first significant action of responding to the Adventist homosexual issue was General Conference approval of an Adventist scholars and pastors meeting with homosexuals for a special camp meeting organized by Kinship in the summer of 1980. The Adventist Review, May 21, 1981, published a statement by the GC Spring Council that said, although it was not possible for the church to condone practicing homosexuality, they felt it necessary to develop a ministry that will meet homosexual needs. Kinship, as stated in their 1981 statement of beliefs, thinks people of the same gender can be Christians and at the same time have a positive and healthy relationship. Three. SDA Kinship Connection. May 1986. The article is entitled, What's Been Said and Done? Quote, even in the late 1970s, when the gay liberation movement had thoroughly intruded on the consciousness of the general population, few in the church gave any thought to the possibility of homosexual SDAs. After all, they assumed homosexuality was antithetical to Adventism, and it had always been considered as sin. In assessing what subsequently happened and what did not, it is helpful to keep in mind that in 1980 and 81, homosexuality was not the only problem facing the church. Places and names such as Glacier View, Desmond Ford, Walter Ray, and Dr. Donald Davenport were much in the minds of administrators as well as the laity. In addition, the unofficial Adventist press attacked the church leadership for having recognized gay lifestyle. The equanimity of the church leaders was shaken. At the time of the 1983 Fall Council, when the president of Andrews University was arrested and charged with having propositioned an undercover policeman. Before the full effect of that development had been absorbed, the associate pastor of the General Conference Church in Tacoma Park also was arrested on charges of illegal homosexual activity. Both men resigned their posts. The generally accepted estimate of SDA members with homosexual problems is about 50,000 to 70,000 gay and lesbian Adventists in the North American division. Accounts of openly gay and lesbian Adventists who remain active in their congregations are increasing. Contacts by Kinship and Adventist College and university administrators and teachers have increased. The official problem of the church has not significantly changed, but the attitudes of individuals within the church are steadily changing. It is still not easy growing up gay and Adventist, but it is generally a much less painful and solitary experience today than it was before. Number 4, Adventist Review, February 4th, 1988. The article is entitled SDA Church Moves Against Homosexual Support Group. Quote, the Seventh-day Adventist SDA Church has asked the United States District Court for the Central District of California to issue injunctions to prevent a support group for homosexuals from using the church's name. Five. Church and State Observer, Special Edition, Summer 1990. Quote, 1980, General Conference hires Catholic attorney to trademark the name Seventh-day Adventist. 1981, SDA name trademarked, General Conference remains silent during a five-year waiting period, a time when the trademark could have been contested had it been known. 1986, General Conference took legal action against 135 different cases charged with violating trademark laws. When one examines closely the foregoing references, a picture develops. It appears that homosexuality became a church problem in the late 1970s when in the North American division, local churches allowed the influx of membership. Before the church realized her condition, kinship had taken root and become a formidable organization by 1980. In 1886, Ellen White warned the church concerning sexual sin in the following way. Quote, we must as a people arouse and cleanse the camp of Israel. We are in danger of becoming a sister to fallen Babylon, of allowing our churches to become corrupted and filled with every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. And will we be clear? Unless we make decided movements to cure the existing evil. Testimonies on Sexual Behavior, page 188. More specific counsel was written in Review and Herald, November 10, 1885. The sodomitish practices which brought the judgments of God upon the world and caused it to be deluged with water, and which caused Sodom to be destroyed by fire, are fast increasing. We are nearing the end. God has borne long with the perversity of mankind, but their punishment is no less certain. Let those who profess to be the light of the world depart from all iniquity. If homosexuality brought the judgment of God upon the world in Noah's day and caused Sodom to be destroyed by fire, is it not possible, or more likely certain, that the sodomitish practices would bring the judgment of God upon the SDA denomination? Ellen White writes in Testimonies, Volume 5, page 83, the SDA Church will be weighed in the balances of the sanctuary. If her moral character and spiritual state do not correspond with the benefits and blessings God has conferred upon her, she will be found wanting. If her talents are unimproved, if her fruit is not perfect before God, if her light has become darkness, she is indeed found wanting. According to the testimony of the 19th century Seventh-day Adventist Church Fathers, judgment has been pronounced on the present General Conference of Seventh-day Adventist denomination. I will cite their testimonies as proof positive. First, A.T. Jones, Christian Patriotism, written in 1900, page 33. Whenever the church forms any connection with any state or kingdom on the earth, in the very doing of it, she rejects God. 2. A.T. Jones, 1895, General Conference Bulletin, page 28. Quote, I need not undertake to give a definition in detail of what the image of the beast is. We all know well that it is the church power using the government, the civil power, for the church's purposes. And of all Christians, Seventh-day Adventists cannot do it, that is, start any procedure in connection with civil government. The very keeping of the Sabbath forbids it. Number 3. Ellen G. White, Great Controversy, page 581. Let the principle once be established in the United States that the church may employ or control the power of the state, that religious observances may be enforced by secular laws, and the triumph of Rome in this country is assured. Number 4. W. W. Prescott, The Protestant Magazine, November 1915. When a church, in alliance with the state, employs the secular power to enforce its doctrines by punishing heretics, it repudiates the essential idea of Christianity. Number 5. International Sabbath School Quarterly, First Quarter, 1896. It has been true that a backslidden body, one that is turned from God's word to men, from God's power to the state, was never reformed in itself. Invariably, God's message has called out those from the fallen church who would do His will and preach His gospel. The Jewish church failed, and God called out the apostolic church to do His bidding. The Roman church failed, and out of it, God called the churches of the Reformation. Some of these churches failed in advancement, and God called out others. Adventists, His last called out people, will know no standard but His word, no power but His spirit. Unquote. Number 6. International Sabbath School Quarterly, First Quarter, 1896. Quote, when the early church departed from God and imbibed pagan errors, she became Babylon. When she united with the state, she fell, and as an organization, was the body of Christ no longer. Number 7. Ellen G. White, SDA Bible Commentary, Volume 7A, page 976. Quote, force is the last resort of every false religion. Unquote. Conclusions can be made in the following way. In employing the federal and state governments for church name protection, the SDA denomination rejected God. The SDA Church, under the General Conference, has not only made an image to the beast, she has become guilty of Sunday keeping, that is, exalting a spurious Sabbath, because of her unholy union with the civil government. The General Conference trademark policy has assured the triumph of Rome in this country by the alliance of church and state. The SDA denomination repudiates the essential idea of Christianity by punishing Sabbath keepers through secular power. The General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists will not go through to the end. She has fallen, and Revelation 18 is calling God's remnant out to the highway of holiness. The organized body of General Conference SDAs is not the body of Christ any longer. She allowed sodomitish pagan errors to infiltrate and then sealed her fall by uniting with the state and persecuting God's Sabbath-keeping people. Seventh-day Adventists are charged with a most solemn responsibility. Quote, "The banner of truth and religious liberty, which the Reformers held aloft, has in this last conflict been committed to us." Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, page 402. "The Sabbath will be the great test of loyalty, for it is the point of truth especially controverted. When the final test shall be brought to bear upon men, then the line of distinction will be drawn between those who serve God and those who serve Him not, while the observance of the false Sabbath, in compliance with the law of the state, contrary to the fourth commandment, will be an avowal of the allegiance to a power that is in opposition to God. The keeping of the true Sabbath in obedience to God's law is an evidence of loyalty to the Creator. While one class, by accepting the sign of submission to earthly powers, receives the mark of the beast, the other, choosing the token of allegiance to divine authority, receives the seal of God." Great Controversy, page 605. "The Lord has shown me clearly that the image of the beast will be formed before probation closes, for it is to be the great test for the people of God, by which their eternal destiny will be decided." Seven Bible Commentary, page 976. What then forms the image of the beast? Quote, "The image to the beast represents that form of apostate Protestantism which will be developed when the Protestant churches shall seek the aid of the civil power for the enforcement of their dogmas. It follows that the keeping of God's law on the one hand and its violation on the other will make the distinction between the worshipers of God and the worshipers of the beast." Great Controversy, 4:45 through 4:46. Note, the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live is the papacy. That was a church dominating the civil power, a union of church and state, enforcing its religious dogmas by the civil power, by confiscation, imprisonment, and death. An image to the beast would be another ecclesiastical organization clothed with civil power, another union of church and state to enforce religion by law. That is found in Bible Readings for the Home, page 261. Ellen G. White is considered a prophetess by all faithful Seventh-day Adventists. Anyone believing in E.G. White must regard the following as a faithful saying. Quote, I was shown in regard to the remnant people of God taking a name. Two classes were presented before me. One class embraced the great bodies of professed Christians. The other class, who were but a few in number, were bowing to the great lawgiver. They were keeping the fourth commandment. The peculiar and prominent features of their faith were the observance of the seventh day and waiting for the appearing of our Lord from heaven. No name which we can take will be appropriate but that which accords with our profession and expresses our faith and marks us as a peculiar people. The name Seventh-day Adventist is a standing rebuke to the Protestant world. The name Seventh-day Adventist carries the true features of our faith in front and will convict the inquiring mind. Like an arrow from the Lord's quiver, it will wound the transgressors of God's law and will lead to repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, pages 223 through 224. I have been shown that this name, Seventh-day Adventist, means much, and in adopting it, we have followed the light given us from heaven. This distinctive banner is to be borne through the world to the close of probation. Manuscript 15, 1896. Because of the testimonies of Ellen G. White, most Adventists regard their name as sacred. And on June 18, 1988, after fines had been imposed against the little Kona, Hawaii Adventist Church, which was not a conference church, the General Conference President, Neil C. Wilson, made the following statement when asked how he could harmonize the General Conference trademark lawsuit position with the Bible and Ellen White's counsel. He says this, quote, she says, that's right, don't crucify Christ afresh by going to the civil court. Work it out internally. Now we have appealed over and over and over and over again to these people. You know, don't use the name Seventh-day Adventist. If you're going to fight the church, you do it on your own, but don't try and use the name Seventh-day Adventist. If they don't respond to that, we're saying, we've got to protect that name because we are giving a false impression to the world. And this church-state business, be a little careful how you use that because that is not in Scripture. Separation of church and state, that is a particular North American philosophy. It exists nowhere else in the world. Unquote. cited in Conflict, page 13. Ellen G. White penned these words, quote, "When the church shall influence the state to enforce their decrees and to sustain their institutions, then Protestant America will have formed an image of the Roman hierarchy, and the infliction of civil penalties upon dissenters will inevitably result." Great Controversy, 445. Quote from Bible Readings for the Home, page 474, reveals a principle worth noting here. Quote, "The history of all the religious persecutions since Bible times is but a repetition of this same story. The wicked persecute the righteous. And thus it will continue to be until the conflict between good and evil is ended." Unquote. Our conclusion is that the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists has formed an image of the beast. And to reinforce this position, the following points may be considered, and they are numbered from 1 through 4. Number 1, the General Conference is a reflection of the Roman hierarchy. After thoroughly studying the SDA church structure, Judge Hart makes this startling but true assessment. Quote, "Church documents that prescribe the church's structure and governance confirm that all parts of the church are parts of a single structure, and governance confirm that all parts of the church are parts of a single entity. Next to the Roman Catholic Church, the Adventist Church is the most centralized of all the major Christian denominations in the country. The General Conference, as the worldwide governing body of the Adventist denomination, is the church's highest legislative, judicial, and ecclesiastical authority." Unquote. Cited in Conflict, page 11. Two, the General Conference has made void the law of God. Ellen White wrote this, quote, "In their religious bigotry, men will resist all evidence and refuse all light. Those who make void the law of God, as the teachers of today are doing, have no standard by which to measure their own character or the character of others. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil, instead of being softened by the compassion of God. They presume on His mercy, instead of manifesting God-like compassion toward others. They cultivate the attributes of the enemy of God and bring oppression upon God's people by enforcing man-made laws." Signs of the Times, 0131. 1900. Three, the General Conference is guilty of Sabbath breaking, and in this spiritual state observes the false Sabbath on Saturday, as the Jewish nation past and present. We will quote again from A.T. Jones, General Conference Bulletin, 1895. Quote, "Now I want to state a little further upon the principle that no Christian, being a citizen of the kingdom of God, can of right start any procedure in connection with civil government. After it is started by the government itself, that is another question. I repeat, therefore, that upon the principles which govern kingdoms and governments, the very principle of the law in heaven or the law on earth, a Christian cannot start any procedure in connection with civil government, and of all Christians, Seventh-day Adventists cannot do it. The very keeping of the Sabbath forbids it." Number 4. The General Conference is in a church-state union with the U.S. government, and evidence of having exercised the power of the civil government to punish dissenters is published. We would refer you to the trademark violation cases concerning the church in Hawaii and also the lawsuit against the Kinship International Homosexual Support Group. By now it should be obvious to you that the General Conference churches are Babylon fallen. The legal complaint of the GC against SDA Kinship International was a strange document, for since it was brought under trademark laws, it had to be couched in purely commercial terms. So Kinship was accused of trying to encroach on the church's market and utilize the goodwill that its marketing had built up around the church name. The complaint did not mention that we were either Adventist or gay or lesbian, according to SDA Kinship Connection, page 15. Notice the language of Revelation 18, verses 3, 7, 11, 15, and 23, in relationship to church-state union and commerce. Quote, "The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. She saith in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise any more. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." Unquote. So we conclude the General Conference has no longer a moral right to the name Seventh-day Adventist. Ellen White writes in Letter 6, 1903, quote, "We may claim to be Seventh-day Adventists and yet fail of realizing how exalted is the standard to which we must attain in order to deserve this name. Some have felt ashamed of being known as Seventh-day Adventists. Those who are ashamed of this name should never connect with those who feel it an honor to bear this name. And those who are Christ's witnesses, standing where the truths of the Bible have placed them, are worthy of the name they bear." The last church name has been given to us by God Himself because of the righteous principles set forth by the Bible and Ellen G. White's counsel. The name of God's last visible body is the Creation Seventh-day Adventist Church. Our responsibilities are summarized by the following statements. First, SDAs are to prepare a people to receive the seal of God by heralding the three angels' messages of Revelation 14 to the world. first angel, preaching the everlasting gospel of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the remedy for all sin, announcing the hour of God's judgment, soon coming of the Messiah for his bride, exalting the Creator by teaching the principles of creation in the physical realm as well as in the spiritual. Second angel, warning God's people against the errors of Babylon, which causes confusion in the mind, calling the faithful souls out of the fallen churches into a holiness highway where victory over sin and error abounds. Third angel, maintaining the cause of religious liberty by warning against worshiping the beast in his image and by reflecting the image of Christ in a life of service of love, exalting the standard of righteousness, God's Ten Commandments, calling special attention to the true Sabbath of God's rest, teaching both the necessity of putting away all sin and the process of victory. It is well established by the writings of Ellen G. White that the name Seventh-day Adventist will be the banner of God's true church until the end of probation. We are Seventh-day Adventists because we observe the seventh day and are waiting for the appearing of our Lord from heaven. This name carries the true features of our faith in front and will convict the inquiring mind. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, pages 223 through 224. Warning. The warning of the third angel of Revelation 14, 9 through 11 is of the most serious nature. In fact, it is one of the most solemn warnings in all of the Bible. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God." Verses 9 and 10. If you stay in the fallen SDA denomination, you become guilty of her sins and will receive of her plagues. Revelation 18:4. Effectively taking the mark of the beast. First, in the forehead if you believe in the trademark policy, and secondly, in the hand if you just go along with the trademark. If you come out of the fallen organization but do not retain the name Seventh-day Adventist, you are in principle worshiping the image by obeying the trademark law. This law says that no true SDA can exist outside of the membership of the General Conference churches. When you give up the name, you obey the image. God's people cannot obey this law any more than we can agree with a Sunday law or a Sabbath law. If you come out of the fallen SDA system and do not desire to join with us in overcoming the beast in his image, you frustrate the prayer of Christ for our unity in John chapter 17. The prayer of Christ to his Father, contained in the 17th chapter of John, is to be our church creed. It shows us that our difference and disunion are dishonoring to God. Lift Him Up, page 296. Let us think on these things as we prepare to receive the seal of God. Inspiration for You is produced and distributed by Creation Ministries. For orders and information, write to Post Office Box 284, Spring City, Tennessee, 37381, or call the toll-free number 1-800-754-8021. Vegetarian. Cheerful, stolidly faithful to their tradition. They were harassed mercilessly by drill instructors, who routinely insulted their beliefs. Some were chosen to participate in a white coat program where they served as human subjects for what they thought was humanitarian research. Later, the program was identified as a facet of our germ warfare program. Cynics point out that Seventh-day Adventists were chosen as guinea pigs because their beliefs forbid them to bring suit in civil court. For the full article, entitled "They Were the Bravest, Most Committed Americans I Know," write to us at Creation Ministries.